lots of people going through terrible, terrible, terrible things. It's just lots of pressure around from all kinds of sources and from all kinds of directions. Pressed on every side, I think the Bible would say. And yet, God is in charge. We're being tempted to go one way or another. We're being tempted to manipulate, coerce, and control it ourselves if we can, because that's the easiest, right? If I can get this thing fixed, I'm going to get it fixed. You know? Or we can become religious about it too. And just, well, this is God getting back at me for swearing when I was in the car or something. You know? Got to be careful of all of that stuff because it's just not true. God is in charge. There was a man from China who wrote a book and was touring a few years ago. His name was Brother Yun. His book was called The Heavenly Man. He was put in jail by the Chinese authorities for evangelizing. At one point, they said that he was in charge of churches with 1 million people coming to church on Sunday. 1 million people. Man, oh man. Anyway, he's in jail, and they torture him and do all kinds of things to him. They want to punish him, so they make him go, and like he was never alone. Guards were with him, or people were with him, and so he couldn't ever kind of get alone with God. And so they want to punish him, and they sent him to clean out the cisterns. The cisterns are they're the cesspools, big lakes of human excrement. I gag just thinking about it. And so he's up to his chest in this stuff, trying to clean it out. And he's thanking God because he has a chance to be alone and pray. That breaks my heart. You know, what kind of stuff am I going through that just isn't anything like that? You know, you get it in perspective and everything is different. And, you know, we all want our way and we want it right now, but God is so big and so wonderful and offering us the opportunity to be with him through it all. He's just so good. So I wanted to talk today about the kingdom of God in a different sort of a way. I've done kingdom of God the last three times anyway that I've preached, Keys to the Kingdom, and just immersing myself in it. Jesus came to preach the kingdom, came to introduce the kingdom to us. It wasn't about him going to the cross being resurrected. That was all part of the process and the part of releasing the kingdom onto the earth. But the kingdom is so big and so wonderful that we have to watch it because we can't see it so well. You know, it's not something that's on the news every night. Oh, the king was here today. King Jesus is on the move. You know, that stuff just isn't there. The kingdom of God is within us. And it's up to us to develop it and to take territory for the kingdom. This week, we had this vote that was so very divisive in Britain. They called it the Brexit vote, you know, Britain exit from the European Union. And some people are vehemently for it, so much so that they put their jobs on the line for it. Prime Minister Cameron Britain is stepping down because he was on the stay side or the remain side. So people's careers were on the line because of this thing. But more than that, the world economy is tied to this thing. It's so big, and the ripples of it are going to affect us for years to come. Whether Britain stays, whether Britain, it has nothing to do with us, you'd think, but our penny, our dollar dropped by a penny as soon as the results were in. It has something to do with us. It has something to do with everybody in the world, because the world leaders are globalists. It's to them, it's more important what happens globally than what happens locally. And so we have to think of everything globally, and there is a unification of speaking that it's so easy to be caught up in and pick up their catchphrases. All about, you know, think locally, act globally, you know, or, you know, whatever, the other way around. But we got to watch that. In the book 1984, was about, you know, Big Brother and all of that kind of stuff. And they developed this stuff they called duck speak, where everybody, you'd have to read the book, I'm not going to explain it to you, but where everybody was speaking the same way. And so if you were very good at duck speak, you were sort of promoted. So everybody would pick up this duck speak, and everybody was speaking the same way, so that everybody was doing the same things, and everybody's thinking the same way. And it's all about this everybody being one, right? This unity. And there is this sense of a global unity being pushed at us as people by all of the leaders of the world. And our prime minister is one of the people that are hook, line, and sinker involved in that. And bless him. He's our leader, and I'll pray for him, and I continue to pray for him. I'm not here to demean him in any way, but you need to think it through just a little bit and to see what is actually happening here. Because there is one kingdom, one king, and yet we get so wrapped up in this global thing that it becomes a part of our emotions, and we have to be moving toward that. Now you can see people moving against it. Arab Spring, you remember that term? It was when the people of Arab descent, you know, all across the top of Africa and into the Middle East, began to move against their leaders. They began to rebel against their leaders a few years ago. And they ousted leaders, and countries changed, sort of. But it was something about us as people being made for freedom. God made us for freedom. God didn't make us to be subjugated. And we can be free in our spirit no matter where we are. But anytime somebody tries to subjugate us, we rebel at that. And the movement in the States, what's happening with Trump, is people moving against that stuff that's being shoved down our throats by liberal thinking people. Liberal, Democrat, same thing. Their concept is they are the intelligentsia, they know better, and the rest of the people just don't know what's good for them, and we're going to make them do it. And there's something in us that goes, no way, that's not happening. And so the people are lining up to vote for a guy that even the people that vote for him say he's a fool and say that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And say that he gets his foot in his mouth more often than he speaks sense, but he is speaking against the push that's happening. And we've got to be aware of what's happening because we're not of this world, right? When you were born again, you were a new creation. Your allegiances were with heaven all of a sudden. Amen. You are a citizen of heaven, but you occupy the earth. And so it's important that we be good citizens here, but that our allegiance is with him. And that's hard to do. Jesus said, and I love this. I could preach for a month on Mark 8. And if you would turn with me there, Mark 8, and we're going to go to 14. This is such a kingdom passage. It's just so good. Now they had forgotten, this is Mark 8, 14, reading from ESV. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he, that's Jesus, cautioned them, saying, "Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Now, I would have gone, what? You know, they did too. So they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. As leaven has to do with bread, right? You put leaven into bread and it raises it up. And so this is just natural for them to think this. So they're discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread, probably blaming each other. It was your fault. You should have done it. No, I left the bread with you. You know, that kind of stuff. And they began discussing with one another the fact they had no bread. But they did have one loaf. So that's not no bread, right? And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Did you not yet perceive or understand? Don't you get it, guys? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 12. "And the seven for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" At the end of that statement, I would have gone, "No, I don't understand." But when you look at it, it does make a lot of sense. Like, first of all, one of the concepts of the kingdom is once you've accessed the kingdom for a miracle, you can no longer complain that you don't have anything because you have access. If they were thankful for the one loaf, there would have been plenty for all of them in the boat, right? They have access to the resources of heaven. And that's a whole month of preaching in just that. If we can catch that. Once you've seen a miracle, once you've been a part of a miracle, once you've experienced a miracle, the door to heaven is open, the resources are available to you. You just be thankful for whatever it is that you have because God has given you something and he will pour forth the resources for you. I will open the windows of heaven. It's wonderful. But the thing that I wanted to say today is Jesus says to them, like they had forgotten the bread and only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." What is that? It's that yeast that gets into things. That leaven is what gets into bread and puffs it up, raises it up. The leaven of the Pharisees, what were the Pharisees known for? They were the most religious people, maybe, that had ever lived. They tithed down to little bits of dill and you know, little tiny things that they're so particular about following the law and doing it just right. It's a religious spirit that that can get into what we're doing so quickly that we start to turn everything over to God in a religious way, not in a relationship way. Right? We have relationship with Jesus. It's not about religion. Jesus hates religion. Right? He's all about loving you and the relationship that you have. But this religion side of things, he's saying, be careful because it gets in. You can get wrapped up in this religious thing, and anything can turn religious. Brushing your teeth in the morning can be a religious experience. I don't mean an ecstatic experience. I just mean because it's ritualized and done, it becomes this this religious thing. And anything can get that way so that we're working our way toward God. We're working our way toward something. And it leaves out this relationship. And so many things can do that. Globalization is a part of that. If we work hard, like look at what our prime minister has done. He gives hundreds of millions of dollars to Syrians, and many in our own nation are suffering. The people in Fort McMurray, I think they gave $90 million to, and there's way more than 25,000 in Fort McMurray, and we bring over 25,000 and give hundreds of millions of dollars to them. Because he's thinking globally. It's about being the good guy globally and being a part of this think and act globally. You know, do what you can so that we all live together in unity. We're all pulling everything together. Once these poor fools understand that we're being benevolent to everybody, their thoughts are beyond understanding. A judge in the United States said, if we just get rid of guns, then when the bad guys have guns and they realize that nobody else has guns, they'll put their guns down. This is a person who has no concept of human nature. None. But they are the ones that are pushing this whole agenda upon us. And we're buying it. And we've got to be very careful with that. The leaven of Herod, not religious, Herod got his position. He's King Herod. He got his position from coercion and manipulation political maneuvering. Right? That's how he got to be the king. That's a big story in itself. But so it's a political spirit. So Jesus is saying, be careful here, you guys. Don't fall into the political spirit. Don't fall into the religious spirit. Just have relationship in the kingdom. Don't you see that you have access to the kingdom? How many loaves were left when we had just this little bit? There was lots extra left. Both occasions. Don't you get it? The kingdom is what it's about. And he's asking us to just recognize what that's about. Now we go, huh? How does that work in my life, you know? Because we get so wrapped up in duck think, duck speak, you know, the stuff that we're told to think, the stuff that we're told to follow, that we just can't relate it to the Bible. But Jesus said that we got to be careful of all of that stuff. And so we were made for freedom. We were made for free choice. Jesus could have made us as automatons. And I've asked him lots of times, why didn't you just do that? I hate this free choice stuff, you know? I just want to follow you, you know? But yet my flesh gets in the way. And it always will. It always will. That battle is always there. The greatest battlefield in the entire universe is between your ears. And that's where you got to take the territory. The lies you're listening to. So we won't look it up this morning, but I'll give you. The people of Israel wanted a king. In 1 Samuel 8, verse 5. You don't have to put it up there, but they wanted a king. Why did they want a king? Because every other nation around them had a king. This is the way to do it. They're all happy. They've got a king. We need a king. They weren't all happy. And a king is a king. You know, he's going to act in his own... But they wanted a king. And so God gave them a king. And it was a mess. He gave them the best. The guy stood head and shoulders above everybody else around him, King Saul. And it was very sad. And we've got... globalization, the unity that the leaders of the world... Now, careful here. I love conspiracy theories. So I don't want to lead you on a conspiracy theory here. I'm just saying, get in touch with your spirit, the spirit of God that lives in you, and question what's happening around the world. Brexit is a big deal. And we need to see it for what it is. God said that he's coming to judge nations. If all of the nations are in one accord, in one unity, he's not coming to judge the global community. He's coming to judge nations for what they did. He said that he sets up the boundaries. Paul on Mars Hill, we should look at this. Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, Paul, the brilliant apostle, brilliant theologian, is arguing with the people of the world, the Greek thinkers on Mars Hill, and he's trying to reason with them. And he... It says, Acts 17, verse 26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. God set up the boundaries. God set up the peoples. And God set up the times and the seasons for them to be in charge. And he's going to hold them accountable for it. He's coming to judge the nations. Joel 3, verse 12. God is so particular about the boundaries. He said to the sea, you shall go this far and no more. Now, that was written at a time when people didn't understand what we do now. There is a dividing line up by Alaska where seas come together. The Arctic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. You can always see if you fly over it. There's a dividing line. The two seas, the two oceans, do not intermingle. There is a line there, thus far and no more. And how does God do that? Like water moves together just naturally, but there's two distinct colors up there all the time. How does he do those boundaries? It's up to him to make the boundaries. We think they're arbitrary and that we argued over it and fought over it and all that stuff. God did it. We just moved toward his will. And it's an amazing thing. But he's coming to judge those nations. The nations are trying to move away from that to this global community, this Tower of Babel sense. where we can do this together. We're responsible. We'll fight climate change. Now, climate change is happening. You know, I'm not a climate change denier. I'm what's causing it denier. Because climate change has happened throughout the history of the earth. It's just a natural course of events. Things change. It's whether we're causing it or not. Like, did we cause it when the dinosaurs disappeared? No. Did we cause the ice ages? We weren't here. Did we cause the heat that happened? What is it? They say 200 million years ago, and there were dinosaurs living in the Arctic. We didn't cause any of that. It's just a part of the process, the seasons, if you would. But that's neither here nor there. Climate is changing, and there's no amount of globalization that's going to make a difference. Somebody's getting very rich in that. Follow the money. So, kingdom stuff is totally different than the way we think with those leaven of Herod, leaven of Pharisees. We think in those ways because that's how we were trained to think. And we need to come out of that and start to think kingdom purpose and kingdom way. Right? Unity is as a catchphrase right now. And there's blessing in unity. But we've got to watch what unity is. Like in Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, there's a commanded blessing when brethren in unity dwell. But unity is a something that people come together on while retaining their own agenda. Right? Because the world will come into unity against Israel at one day. The whole world against little Israel. What's that about? That's unity. We will have achieved unity. Isn't that great? Look at us. When the Bible talks about unity, it talks about unity of spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, we can look at that too. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Come in. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is, now here's where the difference is. There is one body and one Spirit. There is. It's not something that we have to work toward. There is one body, which, you know, is us. You know, I'll talk about one in a minute. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Unity of the Spirit is what we're talking about. Man will drive toward unity and try to manipulate and coerce or make it a religious experience. One leaven or the other, moving us toward unity. What God's plan is not unity, but oneness. Oneness. So, 1 Corinthians 10. And can't tell if that's a 17 or a 12. So 17. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. Because there is one bread. Now he's talking about himself. There is one bread. We who are many are one body. All over the world, we are one body, the body of Christ. One body. For we all partake of the one bread, which is Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So we all partake of the one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. Then just a couple of pages over, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, all over the world that is, you know, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. What's all that mean, Pastor? It's about getting in touch with what you have already. It's about listening to God, paying attention to what he's saying to you and acting upon that, and not upon what's driving you from the outside. The spirits that are driving us are the leaven of Herod, the political spirit, and the leaven of the Pharisees, the religious spirit, driving us towards something. And it's driving us to something that they call unity. A united global people. And I'm not trying to do conspiracy theories here. That's, check it out. It's all over the web. People in authority calling us toward that. Our own prime minister having us move toward that. And it's so much more important that we recognize that we are already one body with all our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And connected to them, we are unified, to use that word, unified together, if we will but recognize spirit to spirit. If we see each other spirit to spirit rather than politically or religiously. Because all of that stuff is divisive. Just like the Brexit vote was divisive. Half of the country. Half each side. When there's a vote in the States coming up, it'll be half and half. When we vote, it's a 50-something percent, you know, wins the day. Half of the people are disenchanted and disenfranchised by any time there is a democratic vote. And we think that that is God's gift to us in the Western world. It's not. A theocracy is God's gift to us, where God alone is the king, where we honor him as king. And the place that we do that first and foremost is in our own hearts, in our own spirit. Because we don't even know our own hearts. Deceitfully wicked. We've been given a new heart, but most of us are in the process of that transition. It's so important that we not fall in lockstep with them. Now, just because they're voting and just because Mr. Trump has 1,000 evangelical leaders acting as his advisors doesn't mean that we should all vote that way. Not we get a vote down there anyway, but you can see where it's pulling people toward. It's important that we do what God wants us to do, together and separately. It starts separately. God's plan is one, that we be one, Now, he gave us that picture in the marriage ceremony, and the two shall become one flesh. He uses the marriage ceremony as a picture of what the church is to be. Jesus, the bridegroom, and all of us together as one bride. All of us in unity as one bride, the one. We're called to be one. And through that, true unity. Because it bypasses all of the stuff of our flesh. Because we don't want to do that. We want our own way. This week, I had a chance to read something that kind of had the penny drop in my head about the church movement and what's going on there. What a missional church is as opposed to a mainline church, you know, the way church has always been. And it's the focus. Missional church is about the mission of God. God said, go. Yeah, right? Go. Make disciples of every nation. Go and do the stuff. Go out. And so it's about the church going out and not about the church staying together as one glob. When you have that everybody staying together, then you get into a political spirit where you got to try and meet the needs of every single person. So you may come here thinking, I'll stay at that church as long as they have good programs for my kids. I'll stay at that church as long as they call sin bad choices. I'll stay at that church as long as they don't use the word hell. And it's all about stuff that we've picked up that we think that's what church should be. But church isn't about us getting our needs met that way, what we think our needs are. Church is about us coming together, ecclesia, the church gathered, ecclesia, the church gathered for the purpose of glorifying his name and then going out and giving it away. And so in a missional church is about going out. In a missional church, small groups don't work because everybody should be out doing the things, should be out in the ministry, should be out in the mission. And so Soup Kitchen is a mission for us. And that group of people meeting together become a small group. They equip each other. They help each other. They if somebody has an issue, they talk to each other while they're chopping carrots or, you know, whatever it is. And that becomes the small group. But if it's a small group meeting together just over, you know, how to be better parents or something like that, that it doesn't fit within the missional church concept. We're a missional church. Unless you're involved in something, you're going to feel like you're not getting your needs met. Those thoughts are going to come in. And you're going to feel like the church is not meeting your needs and failing you desperately. But it's about you having relationship with your King. And that's where you get your needs met. With the brothers and sisters that are around you, that God placed around you in a like-minded mission. You're about the stuff of God, and that's where you get your needs met. As soon as it becomes individualistic and about me, then we miss out on what God's doing. And we get left behind. And then we start to think religiously or politically. The leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of Herod has become our guiding force, and it's puffing us up in one way or another. And I think we all become subject to it from one time or another, depending upon what we're feeding ourselves with. We all need bread. Right? It's funny because wheat that makes bread is poison now. So, you know, like it's messing people up. And yet God called us to bread, you know. It's just funny how things are going these days. You know, you think there must be good and there must be evil. And evil's running a whole bunch of the stuff right now. So it's about kingdom. It's about kingdom purpose and oneness in Christ. Oneness in the Spirit. That's where we are called to be with Him. That's how we're called to be with Him. It's not important that your pastor can have a relationship with God and he can hear and he'll tell me what I need to know on Sunday. It's important, it's vital that we all are driven by Him. But now to be driven by Him, you can read the Bible and think you don't hear from God, but it will speak to you and drive you. It's available to everybody, whether you think you hear His voice or not. Because His voice is in here. His voice is in the voices of people as they speak the truths of His kingdom. His voice is out there all over the place, and He's guiding us and leading us. What we need to do is dial down and let peace be our guide. How do we do that? Like, what that is that about? That's about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. He says, I am. Jesus said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. It's a peace that the world doesn't understand. And if we're led by His peace, how do we do that? Let me just. When you notice your stomach getting tight, you know, just kind of, something's off there, then your peace is leaving you. You ever go into a room and everything was okay before you got into the room, and you go into the room and then all of a sudden you're kind of going, that means your peace is leaving you. What's going on here? Something's not right. And if you go through it, you're probably end up being hurt in one way or another, offended or something in that room there. If you're entering into an arrangement with somebody and you feel a little knot in your stomach, a little tightening of your abdominal muscles, it's just not right. Your peace is leaving you. The peace that Jesus gave you. And it's important that we pay attention to that. Because He said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. It's not a peace that the world understands. He's trying to talk to us through peace. And trying to work with us to save us from offense, to save us from hurt, to save us from the stuff. But how do we nurture that peace? By being alone with the Prince of Peace. By giving Him time, by dialing down, even for a few moments a day, makes a big difference. It's all about relationship. All about relationship. It's all about Jesus, the King, and His kingdom. The oneness in the Spirit as one God. Just one. And we want to serve a plurality, really, including ourselves. It's about Him. Amanda, would you come and lead us? Now, as she's getting ready to play, I don't want to have you come forward and say, well, I've given way to the leaven of Pharisees or the leaven of Herod, you know, I get into the political spirit, or I don't, just confess that to Him sometime. Right now is fine, but some other time is good. Just confess it to him. Lord, I'm following the wrong voices in my life. I need to hear your voice. I need to be about your kingdom. And allow that to move you gently toward change in how you're being directed, how you're being guided. He is able to guide every one of us. Every one of us, if we will but turn to him instead of the nightly news. I don't mean be uninformed. I'm not telling you anything like that. I'm just saying there is another way to live that's available to us all. So let's just respond in song. So much of today was about song, and I'll come back in a minute and we'll pray for you.